السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة، صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله، we had discussed last the migration to Abyssinia, the different incidents that had taken place there, etc. Now we come to the sixth year after Nubuwwat, the sixth year after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was granted Nubuwwat. In this year, we had discussed the incident of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala when he had accepted Islam. The other person who's accepting Islam became a means of strengthening the Muslims by the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. When he had accepted Islam, then this brought a lot of strength to the Muslims. Obviously, by the permission of Allah Rabbul Izzat, everything happens only by the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will discuss this now, the Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and how he had accepted Islam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala accepted Islam at the same time when the Quraysh had sent their two people to Abyssinia to go and try and convince Najashi to send the Muslims back. While that was happening that side, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala accepted Islam on this side. So what actually happened, the primary reason that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala accepted Islam was the barakat of the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must strengthen Islam by Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala o Abu Jahl. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had made dua for both these people. But then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed that Abu Jahl was not going to accept Islam. So then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua exclusively for Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua. Mawlana Yaqub sahab has got the dua here also in the kitab. Allahumma ayyidil Islam bi Umar ibn al-Khattab khassa. O Allah, strengthen Islam by means of Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. So through the barakat of this dua, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala not only accepted Islam, but his accepting Islam became a source of strength for the Muslim Ummah. I have read in the tafsir of Suratul Haqqah. In Surah Haqqah, in the tafsir it is written that once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was reciting Suratul Haqqah, Al-Haqqatu Mal-Haqqah, was reading that surah, the 29th Sipara. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to the verses. It's not coming in my mind right now. Is it Quran Sharif? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting these verses of the Quran Sharif. إنه لقول رسول كريم So he was reading these verses, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is listening, and in his mind he is saying that these are lines of poetry. These are lines of poetry. This is the words of a poet. So as he is thinking this in his mind, he didn't even say this to anybody, he is thinking this in his mind. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reads the next ayat, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرِ. This is not the words of a poet. قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. And then, now when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read that this is not the words of a poet, so then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is thinking in his mind that okay, if it's not the words of a poet, then it must be the words of a soothsayer. Because why is it bewitching people? Why are people getting so taken aback by this kalam? So it must be the words of some soothsayer. So as he is thinking this in his mind, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reads the next ayat, وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنِ. These are not the words of a soothsayer. قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. So now Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is thinking now, it's not the words of a poet, not the words of a soothsayer. So what type of words are these? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reads the next ayat, تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is a revelation from the Rabb of the universe, the Rabb of the worlds. So the Mufassirin say that this incident had already planted the seed of Iman in Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala's heart. The seed was already there. This was the first thing that shook him. Now Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala gets the news that Abu Jahl has offered a reward. Abu Jahl has offered a reward of 100 camels for a person who assassinates Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we would think in our mind that these Quraysh, so many of them, so powerful, they got a problem with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why aren't they taking decisive action against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This in itself is a manifestation of the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if the whole world gets together to harm you, and if Allah Ta'ala don't want them to harm you, they will not be able to harm you. Or they will only harm you to that amount which Allah Pak wants harm to come to you. And if the whole world gets together to try and benefit you, they will not be able to benefit you save to that much which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants benefit to come to us. So they could not harm Nabi, they could not, you know, like assassinate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They could not stop this mission. It was not the decree of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Not that a Nabi cannot be assassinated. So many Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were assassinated by the Jews. So it was possible. But it was not the decree of Allah Rabbul Izzat. For those Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, that was the decree. So it happened. So everything happens only with the will, the mashiyat, the qudrat of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Now when a person has this in his mind, then he knows thereafter that whatever I do must always be in conformity with the commands of my Allah. Whether it is earning my rozi, whether it is protecting my kit and kin, whether it is purchasing my house, whatever it is, but I must not break the command of Allah. Because even if I try to break the command of Allah and I try to do whatever I can do, nothing is going to happen except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants must happen. So khair, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he hears about reward that Abu Jahl has offered. Abu Jahl has offered a reward. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala went to find out from Abu Jahl, did you really make this offer? So Abu Jahl says, yes, I made this offer. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says, you people, you all are wasting time. You all are only talk, no action. Only talk, no action. So I am going to carry this task out. Now I am fed up. I will carry this task out. So he takes his sword and he is proceeding now he is going to go and find Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now with what niyat he is going? With what niyat he is going? But what is the command of Allah Ta'ala with regards to him? Now how can he do contrary to what Allah Pak wants must happen to him? He is going on a different road altogether, with a different niyat, a different resolve. But Allah Pak got other plans for him. Allah Pak got other plans for him. So he goes, and this is an ajeeb thing that took place. He says, I set out with my sword with the intention of going to assassinate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the way, I saw people intending to slaughter a calf. So I joined their gathering. Like, how are we going now? You see somebody, something happening there. Now we stop to see what's happening. So he says, I joined their gathering. He says, after they slaughtered this calf, I am hearing from the stomach of this calf, I am hearing a voice. Now what this voice is saying, O family of Jalih, this family is saying, this calf is saying, this voice is coming out of this calf, O family of Jalih, it is a matter of success that a man of eloquence is calling to Shahadatu Allah ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. So he hears this from this calf. So he says, as soon as I heard this, I knew that this message is for me. This message is for me. But despite this, I still continued. But now he is shaken. Now remember what he heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam reading. Now this incident. So he is now shaken a bit, but he's still proceeding. So he carries on. Now this whole incident here, Hazrat Maulana Yaqub sahab has got the hawala for it, etc. All the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum's names and which page it is mentioned, Fathul Bari, volume 7, 138, all that, he has got everything here. Sometimes a person, if you hear a story for the first time, you think, now is this thing for real? Maulana Yaqub sahab, alhamdulillah, everything that he has mentioned, especially those things that we don't normally hear, so he gives a hawala for it, exactly where he has got it from. And that was the one beautiful thing I liked of his kitab. Everywhere, all the very strange incidents that we don't normally hear, but he has got hawala for it, gives way, got reference for it. So khair, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala continues, after a short while, he meets Nu'aym bin Abdullah on the road, and Hazrat Nu'aym bin Abdullah was already radiallahu ta'ala, that means he had already accepted Islam. So he meets him on the road and he sees Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala with a sword now and he's like on a mission. So he asks him, he says, oh Umar, where are you going this part of the day? Where are you going? What's your intention? So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala replies that I am going to assassinate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Nu'aym radiallahu ta'ala asks him that if you are going to go to assassinate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how are you going to save yourself from the Banu Hashim and the Banu Zuhra after killing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? These are the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Definitely they are going to want to avenge his death. So what are you going to do when they are going to come for you? You're going single-handedly. So Hazrat Abu Nu'aym radiallahu ta'ala, he was trying in his way, using some psycho to try and stop him from going. A believer tries with whatever his resources are. Whatever his resources are, he tries to do his best for deen. So Hazrat Nu'aym radiallahu ta'ala, he couldn't do much at that time. He couldn't physically confront Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, but he used his intelligence, he tried to use some psycho on him, trying to make him think that, oh Umar, you're going like this, you're thinking of 100 camels, you're walking in your josh, but what are you going to do after that? Think of the consequences of your action. So he's trying to derail him, trying to stop him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says to Hazrat Nu'aym bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, seems like you also have forsaken your forefather's religion. You also have forsaken your forefather's religion. That's why you're talking in defense of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He was the same intelligent Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. The same qualities that he had as Amirul Mu'mineen, those same qualities were there with him. Just that it was clouded with shirk and clouded with the days of Jahiliyyah. When he came into Deen, he came into Islam, then see it from where to where Allah Pak took him. So khair, he read between the lines. So he said, oh, you also. So he was going to take out his sword for him. He said, rather start with him first. So Hazrat Nu'aym bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, he says to him, and you worried about me? Worried about me? But your sister, Fatima bint Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anha, and your brother-in-law, Hazrat Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, they have also accepted Islam. So you're going to take out your sword for me? How many people are you going to take out your sword for? You're going to kill your sister too? You're going to kill your brother-in-law also? How many people are you going to kill? This deen is on the rise. You want to fight this deen? It has already entered your close family members. Your own sister has accepted Islam. So how much are you going to fight? So when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala heard this, so now he left Hazrat Nu'aym bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, and in a fit of rage now. Now he is totally upset, totally angry. That how can my own sister, how can she now forsake the religion of her forefathers? Now, you see, you have to understand it. You have to understand his anger from his side. Not from the way we're looking at it. Understand his anger from his side. From his side, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming with a new deen. Right? At that point in time, they have not accepted this deen as yet. To them, they are calling Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Sahabi. They are calling Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, not Sahaba, Sahabi. What's the meaning of Sahabi? Person who got no religion. An irreligious person. A person who has got no deen, no religion. Now, he in his mind, my sister has given up deen. Because religion to him was worshipping the idols. My sister has given up her religion. How can I stomach this? I need to go and sort out. What will my father have to say? What will my mother have to say? My own sister gave up her religion. So that is his rage now. And he goes to the house of his sister in that anger, in this rage now. He goes to proceeding to the house of his sister. Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala was in the house, and he was teaching Hazrat Fatima bint Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anha and Hazrat Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala. He was teaching them Quran. Now we will ask, is Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala a mahram to them? How come he is teaching Hazrat Fatima bint Khattab? So this incident took place long before the laws of Parda came. This is still in Makkah Sharif. Long before the laws of Parda came, this incident took place. So khair, Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala is teaching. The ulama tell us this was the first maktab. First maktab was this maktab in this house. Now you see, a lot of times when it comes to our dini idaras. We must never look at a dini idara like how we look at a business. See, a business, if you want to know now whether we need to extend the shop, so you must look at your turnover, look at your expenses, look at the profit, how much you're making. Is it going to be a viable proposition to extend the shop? Is it a viable proposition to extend the shop? It's going to cost us so much to extend. Is it going to cost us so much in staffing? Are we going to make that much of money? Does it warrant us extending the shop? So in business, you must think like that. It's very important. Must think like that in business. But when it comes to a dini idara, you mustn't think like that. In deen, if you need one ustad to teach one child, it's worth it. No problem. It's worth it. The facility must be there. If the facility is there, then it will flourish. It must flourish. It must pick up if the facility is there. But if the facility is not there, how is it going to happen? So you see here, one ustad teaching two students. One ustad teaching two students in the maktab. And what was the flower of that? Amirul Mu'mineen coming into Islam. And Apa will have a small maktab. She's teaching 10 children. From those 10 children, who is going to become the Mufti-e-Azam? What we know? If you go to our senior ulama in our town, go and ask them which maktab you attended. Ask them which maktab you attended. Go to that maktab, see if that Apa is still living, and ask her, Apa, this person who is the big mufti of the town today, or is the big morisab of the town today, how was he in the class? She may turn on and tell you, he gave me the most headache. If you ask her, that did you know that this person is going to become so and so one day? You say, what we knew? He used to sit and cry here all the time. What we knew, he was going to become something. But if that facility was not there, how was he going to learn? So when it comes to a dini idara, we must not judge it by business principles. How much fees we're getting in? How much the APA is costing us? I don't think it's a viable proposition. It doesn't work that way. When it comes to a dini institute, as long as there's somebody who's prepared to learn and there's somebody who's prepared to teach, then we must let it continue. Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali, he started teaching under the tree. Who thought that a day is going to come when such a huge Darul Uloom is going to be built there, that just on one arch there will be 33 rooms. On one arch of the Darul Uloom, there will be 33 rooms. Who thought that? But now if he was going to say that, no, only one student here, and only one tree here, and where we're going to start now, rather wait till we get a full class, and then we'll see, then would it have come about? So khair. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is hearing from the outside, Quran Sharif is being recited, somebody is teaching. So as soon as they heard Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala now approaching the house, they kept quiet. Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala, he went and hid away. Because Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he may have some mercy for his sister and his brother-in-law, they are family. But he's not going to have mercy on him now. So he went, they told him, you stay one side now, we will face him. So Hazrat Fatima bint Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and her husband, they are there. they came in, he comes into the house, he addresses the both of them, and he says that, look, the both of you have become irreligious, you have lost your deen. So the brother-in-law replies, the brother-in-law says, oh Umar, if your religion is untrue, if you are following a wrong religion, and you are shown a correct religion, what should your response be? What must you do? You're following something that is batil, and you are now shown something that is correct, something that is right. What must you then do? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, instead of answering his brother-in-law, he was in no mood now for any intellectual discussion. He was just seeing red now, that you all have become irreligious. So he began assaulting his brother-in-law. Sayyid ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, he starts assaulting him. So Hazrat Fatima bint Khattab, the wife, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu's sister, she steps forward in order to save her husband. She steps forward. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, now in that fit of rage, he hit her also. He hit her so severely that she was actually bleeding. She began bleeding. So this is Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. That is also Khattab. Same bloodline. Hazrat Fatima bint Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anha. She is the sister of Umar. She's not just anybody also. So when he hit her like that and she was bleeding, she responded to him. He said, oh enemy of Allah, standing her brother. Now, in all that, he says, oh enemy of Allah, are you hitting us only because we believe in one Allah? We believe in one Allah, that's why you are hitting us? She says, be informed that we have embraced Islam. We have embraced Islam, and you may do whatever you want to do. We're not going to leave Islam. May your nose get soiled in the ground. It was an expression in Arabic, right? In other words, may you be disgraced for what you're doing. We are believing in one Allah, and for that you are assaulting us, for that you are making your own sister bleed. So when she mentioned this to him, now obviously this must have, Allah Pak made it at that time. This was their test. This was the test of Hazrat Fatima bint Khattab, Hazrat Sayyid ibn Zayd, Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhum. This was their test. They had to shed their blood for the sake of deen. So at that point, if Allah Pak wanted, before that he could have made Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu calm down. But only at that point now, Allah Pak made him calm down. He reflected over the statement of his sister. He's seeing his sister bleeding. Now some raham comes into his heart, some mercy comes into his heart. And then he says that, okay, show me what you were reading. The thing that you were reading before I came, show me what you were reading. So Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala, he realizes that now the moment is right. Now the moment is right. So he came out. He came out. And he was going now to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala to show him what was being recited, to speak to him. But immediately, when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala went forward, his sister stopped him. Oh Umar, you are impure. You are impure. This is the kalamullah. This is the kalam of Allah ta'ala. You go and purify yourself first. Then only can you touch the kalamullah. Now look at the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Look at them. She is bleeding. She has just been assaulted. Hazrat Sayyid ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, her husband, he has been assaulted. They still don't know. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, they still don't know his mood. He can go either way. Just now, few seconds before this, he was in a rage. If it was me or you, we say, okay, now let's just give in to whatever he wants. Calm him off now, never mind whatever he wants to do. But not Sahaba. Not Sahaba. Rather I die. But no disrespect must come to Deen. No law of Allah Ta'ala must get broken. So in that also, while they are hurt, they are bleeding and everything, but he goes forward to touch the Quran, sorry. You can't touch the Quran. You can't touch the Quran. You go and bath first. Become pure first. Then you come back. We'll allow you to touch the Quran. And today what is our halat? That no, break any law. Break any law of Allah. As long as we are happy is fine. Long as we get saved, we are happy is fine. Any law of Allah that can get broken is okay. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is on the journey of Hajj. A lady comes to him to come and find out a mas'ala. So on the journey of Hajj, a lady comes to find out a mas'ala. It was either Hazrat Fazl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala or one of the young Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala whom Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's cousin who was with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When this lady comes, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns his cousin's face away. He turns his cousin's face away. She is coming to find out a masla. Right? So there is a zarurat for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to talk to her. There is a necessity for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to talk to her. But there is no need for that sahabi to look at her. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns his face away. Was there any fear of fitna there? Was there any fear of fitna? Today, if a murid is with his sheikh, and one beautiful girl walks past, if you want to see taqwa, look at that murid. At that time, look at that murid. He will be looking through the cement in the ground. So much of taqwa he'll have at that time. Why? Amud Mahazrat. Hazrat is watching me. So I must look down. Can't look anywhere else. So do you think, when that is the respect a murid has got for a sheikh, do you think that the sahabi, there was any fear of fitna in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns his face away to show the command of Allah comes first. There is no need for you to look at that face. Why do you want? There's no need to look. So turn around, look that side. Today we cry that our sister Afia Siddiqui, the kuffar have removed her clothing. The kuffar are taking her izzat. But then from the same family, we take a woman and everybody must go and see her. And she must give a public speech for everyone to hear. So now, who is making be'izzati of a Muslim woman? Who is making the be'izzati? Kuffar or Muslim? Who is making the be'izzati? There, that bichari, she got no choice. They're making her be'izzati. She got no choice in the matter. Here, who is forcing us to make be'izzati of someone from the same family? And then we say, no, whole ummah is united on this. Whole ummah is united on this matter. And why the ulama are not supporting it? Why the ulama are not supporting it? Because the ulama are not ulumas. That's why they're not supporting it. Because the ulama know deen. They know the line. Now when you speak like this, then you become enemy number one. And you see, these people don't have compassion and don't have this thing for our Muslim sisters and Muslim brothers and all of that. It's not all that. It's not all that. The law of Allah Ta'ala comes first. When we will uphold the law of Allah Ta'ala, Allah's Nusrat will come. When we going to use our logic and we think we're doing a lot of things, but we're breaking the law of Allah, the Nusrat of Allah is not going to come. We're only appeasing our nafs. We're only appeasing our nafs, doing something for our own conscience. That's all. And sometimes I think that maybe it's only the sister of the wealthy. That's why it's so expensive to meet the person. You know, to meet the person, can't meet for free. You must buy a dinner ticket. Then you can meet your sister in Islam. You must meet her to buy a dinner ticket. But here, that's not our this thing. Allah Pak, those who are doing with ikhlas, Allah Pak give hidayat to see the light. Sometimes a person is doing something with a lot of ikhlas, with a lot of sincerity. We won't take that away from the person. But if he's doing the wrong thing, he's doing the wrong thing. There's no two ways about it. You cannot take a person, a woman, and publicize her and call everybody to come see her. When she lands, everybody must get to know her, and then she must give public speeches when men and women are all going to listen to it. So that is not Islamic. So our duty is to give the Islamic ruling. After that, whether people like us, they don't like us, whatever, that's not our problem. But deen and sharia is deen and sharia. It has to remain pure. It has to remain pure. So khair, you see these sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, that even in that halat and condition, but they're not prepared to compromise deen. They're not prepared to compromise deen. That never mind, we are bleeding, we are bruised up or whatever. But the Quran Sharif you cannot touch if you're not in a state of paki. So sorry, you don't touch the Quran Sharif. Go and have a bath first. After that, we will allow you to touch the Quran Sharif. Inshallah. See, deen is not on emotions. Deen is not on emotions. Deen has got a code. It has got a sharia. It has got a code. It has got principles. And we have to abide by those principles. We must abide by those principles. That is our test. Our test is to abide by those principles. In abiding by those principles, that is our success. That is our salvation. Numbers are not our salvation. The amount of money that's made is not our salvation. All those things are not our salvation. Our salvation is how much we have made Allah Ta'ala happy. How much we make Allah Ta'ala happy, that is where our success lies. Coming back to the same Hadith Sharif that we were speaking about, that if the whole world gets together, the whole world gets together to try and benefit you, they will only be able to benefit you to the degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants any benefit to come to you. And if the whole world gets together to try and harm you, they will only be able to harm you to that amount that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed any harm to come to you. So our focus and our gaze must be on Allah Ta'ala. anything that we want to do, we must keep our gaze and our focus on Allah Rabbul Izzat. What is Allah's command, we must comply. If Allah Pak has allowed something, we do it. If He has prohibited something, we abstain, we do away from it. And I mentioned this thing before, that it's really a sad state. It's really a sad state that in order to contribute to a worthy cause, a dini cause, a worthy cause, that a person has to be like, I don't know the correct term to use. If we know that there is a cause, for example, if that sister, if really there is an appeal coming up and there is monies required for that appeal, there is money is required ready for that appeal, then do we have to have a big dinner to take out money from our pocket? Why can't we do it without the dinner? Without the dinner, without anything, why can't we just contribute it just cleanly, openly, with nothing? Why do we have to be bribed into contributing some money? Why must be like an exchange type of a thing? Why don't we just take out the money and just give it like that? And wallahi, if that is done, the Muslim Ummah will take out the money and give it. They will take out the money and give it. If it is done that way, there is a worthy cause, definitely the Ummah will take out the money and give it. The Ummah is a generous Ummah. They will definitely take out the money and give it for any worthy cause. You don't have to have all these different things. But if it is done and the law of Sharia is followed, alhamdulillah, there is no, we're not saying there is wrong. But if the law of Sharia is not followed, then whether it's a souk, whether it's a fair, whether it's a dinner, or whatever it may be, but if the law of Allah Ta'ala is being broken, then no matter who's hosting it, no matter who's doing it, the law of Allah Ta'ala is being broken, then we will have to say that that part of it is wrong. That part of it is incorrect, it is wrong. Then who don't like it? Alhamdulillah. What are we going to do? Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu wa laka ash-shukru kullu. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا يوم يقوم الحساب اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة اللهم احفظنا من فتنة المحيا والممات اللهم احفظنا من فتنة المسيح الدجال اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرض المسلمين يا الله this sister of ours sister Afia who is in prison unjustly oh Allah يا الله you create some asbab for her release. And Ya Allah, there are so many of our mothers, so many of our sisters in Palestine, in Afghanistan, in the States, in Iraq, in Kashmir, in Bosnia, in so many different places of Allah, around the globe. So many of our mothers, so many of our sisters whose izzat is being taken. Be izzati is being made of them, O Allah. They are being locked up in prisons for no apparent reason besides that they are believing in you, O Allah. Ya Allah, our brothers also, so many of them around the globe, O Allah. Ya Allah, you create the asbab for their release, O Allah. Ya Allah, you free Masjid al-Aqsa from the hands of the Yahud, O Allah. Ya Allah, create some aman in the lands of the Muslim Ummah. O Allah, give us tawfiq, O Allah, to follow your laws, O Allah, at all times, to do that is pleasing to you and abstain from anything that is displeasing to you. اللهم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.